Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Let's start with the latest from Chattanooga, Tennessee, where the investigation continues into yesterday's shooting attacks on two military sites.
The shootings left four Marines dead. The gunman was also killed. Authorities have identified the suspect as 24-year-old Mohammed Yusuf Abdul Aziz, a Kuwaiti-born electrical engineering graduate and naturalized U.S. citizen. NPR has confirmed that he went to Jordan several years ago, but so far there is nothing to suggest that that trip was anything other than a family visit. Officials called the attack a potential act of domestic terrorism, although the FBI has so far found no direct ties to terrorist organizations. Joining us from Chattanooga is Ellis Smith, digital editor with the Chattanooga Times Free Press. And Ellis, oftentimes after events like these, there is a lot of anger in the community, emotion and fear. How are people there feeling today?
Well, this is really a unique situation because it wasn't a mall shooting or some random act of violence. It was a very targeted act of violence against Marines, against military personnel. And so people, there's not that fear, I think, that you generally see during these events. But people do feel like the city's been attacked, the city's been targeted, and as more information comes out about Abdul Aziz, I think people are saying, well, he was here, he was one of us, you know, how could this happen? And so I think people are really questioning, you know, what would drive a young man, a talented young man who is liked by many, many people, who had a lot of friends, who still speak highly of him, even knowing what he's done. You know, how could he do this? And I think that's a lot of it's the questioning at this point. And then there's also a great feeling of solidarity, I think. I think Chattanooga, it's you know, nicknamed the scenic city. People come here to relax. They come here to spend time in the mountains with the lakes. And people are trying to, I guess, bring that back and say, this is who we are. We're not a place where you know, these types of things happen. It's a beautiful town. So I think people are really pushing that narrative a little bit.
Well, and I saw that the Islamic Society of Greater Chattanooga condemned the attack and said, we're Chattanoogans first. But are people worried about a potential backlash against Muslims in the area because the gunman was a practicing Muslim?
There's absolutely that concern. You know, there's always the rush to sort of find who's responsible, to assign blame every time something like this happens. And in this case, the scapegoat is one. It's a story we've heard before. I think that the Muslim community is extremely concerned. They've pushed their message out through just about every channel that they can, that they canceled a festival, a celebration that they had to commemorate the end of a holy period, out of respect for the victims. One of the leaders of the Islamic community here in Chattanooga actually collapsed during an interview with one of our reporters. He was under so much stress. So I think there's a very real concern as for whether anything will happen. Chattanooga has a We've been a very peaceful city as far as those sorts of things go. There's been mosques built in other cities that have incited protests and demonstrations. That hasn't happened here. We've got a couple mosques, and everything's been very copacetic up until this point. So I don't foresee things being worse here than they would be in any other place. I imagine that it'll die down.
What about what could be done to prevent an attack like this in the future? Are people talking about more intelligence? Are people talking about gun control? What's being discussed?
Well, everything's on the table. At this point, the intelligence community has said that there were no early indicators. The FBI is searching his computer. They found nothing to link him to ISIS. I know there were some false rumors yesterday that ISIS was somehow behind it, some tweet. There are some legitimate concerns, I think, about whether or not you know, troops at military installations should be able to defend themselves, should be able to have guns. As you know, guns are generally prohibited at federal installations, even army bases, as we learned during Fort Hood. So that's been a topic of discussion, is were they adequately protected? You also saw images from above, from a helicopter, of the Ford Mustang that crashed through the security barrier quite easily and bent it in half. like a piece of paper. And that clearly was not, if it wasn't enough to stop a Ford Mustang, certainly a more determined, better prepared attacker could have gotten through in any case. So, I mean, that's a concern. One of the recruiting places was in a strip mall with a glass, partition separating the recruiters from the outside world. So I think there's a lot of questions about that. On the gun angle for how he got the guns, he did have a DUI, which we don't think and would have prevented him from getting the guns right off hand. It was a first offense, DUI. So he may very well have been able to legally purchase those guns. We still don't know how he got them. The FBI hasn't released what weapons he had. So we're sort of working through that ourselves, trying to work backwards on that.
That's Ellis Smith with the Chattanooga Times Free Press. Ellis, thank you so much.
Thank you.